on Hard Facts. I don't just bring you the news, I bring you the newsmakers.
Consul General of the U.S. Consul General in Lagos, giving her first ever interview in Nigeria. Claire Pierangelo.
They come to me because they know Lagos is listening.
I love the way you engage Nigeria, especially with people who are called to supremacist Nigeria. They feel they are more Nigerian than you are.
We talk to the newsmakers.
The Special Assistant to the President on Digital and New Media, Tolu Ogunlesi. Frankenba has just walked into the studio. Yawande Sadiku. Yawande is the Executive Secretary of NIPC, the Nigeria Investment Promotion Council. The Senior Special Assistant to President Muhammadu Buhari on Public Affairs, Mr. Ajuri Ngelale.
We talked to captains of industry.
She's the founder and CEO of Tomato Joss, one of Nigeria's biggest agro-industrial businesses. Her name is Mira Mehta. He's been selected for Forbes 30 Under 30. His name is Ineoluwa Aboyeji. We talked to the experts.
He's the chief economist at Business Day. He's a big friend of the show. Don Sobikili.
He's the head of the Department of Molecular Biology and Biotechnology at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, NIMR. Dr. Bamidele Walofo.
And we talk to you.
I found Mr. Usman through Hard Facts. He's a listener. He sent us a WhatsApp message when we were talking about the scanners at the port.
Give me your afternoon and I'll give you the answers.
Shaku Maku, everyone. It's a bright afternoon in the city of Lagos, and I guess also bright in the federal capital territory, Abuja, where at Eagle Square, the All Progressives Congress is having its national, its presidential primary and convention. And we'll hook up with our correspondent, our crew we have there, who will be updating us that. But I'm sure you heard in the background the siren, where the sound of the siren, which lets us know that we have with us also too for an update for what happened on Sunday in Owo, in Ondo State. The spokesperson for the Ondo State Police Command, Ibukun. We have with us Ibukun, who joins us, Odulami, who joins us straight away. So, what we're going to do, because I know she's on transit to Owo, and we've tried to get her, we thought it would be fantastic to just have her straight ahead to give us an update, and we'll get into the other matter for today.
Hello.
Great to have you join us on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
I'm sorry, you may need to speak up on your side. I can't hear you
clearly. Okay, can you hear me clearly now? Great to have you join us on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Okay, please continue.
Great. Can you kindly tell us, I mean, it's 48 hours after this incident happened in Owo, this terror incident. Would like to have an idea of how Owo is right now.
Okay, right now, Owo, sorry. Can I drive?
Yeah, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Yes, right now, Owo is calm. We have the Deputy Inspector General of Police, who is in charge of Southwest and in charge of the First Criminal Investigation Department on ground. He's here to represent the IDP. And of course, he's going straight to the scene of crime to see things for himself. We also have the IDP Special Squad Team, Intelligence Response Team on ground too, all to lead the investigation so far.
Right. And I'm sure that now that this has happened, I mean, Owo is a very quiet town. This whole incident shocked the entire community. How are the people getting on? How are they been able to get on with their life? A lot of people are still scared, I understand, over what happened on Sunday.
Yes, like I said, Owo it actually came as a shock, but we've been able to reduce the tension. We've been able to talk to people that everyone can say about their lawful duty. It's unfortunate we had that kind of situation in those states, because this state happens to be one of the most peaceful states. And we've been able to talk to our people everywhere in camp. Of course, this one is the state of the state. The problem is
absolutely. I got that last part. Well, I understand because of you're on transit.
You said what?
Yes, I understand the point that everyone who was directly involved or indirectly involved in this terror incident should be brought to justice. Help us understand too, the people who are in the hospitals receiving treatment, Do we have an idea how the recovery is going on for them? How many people still left at the Federal Medical Center in Owo and other private hospitals around Owo?
Yes, even as of yesterday, we visited the injured victims in the hospital. They are recuperating, they are okay. And I think for now, they are fine.
Oh, okay, okay. Then something about the crime scene. CSP, people are concerned that the crime scene, a lot of people have been going there and the area hasn't been cordoned off. There are concerns that this could compromise the investigation. Any idea why it wasn't cordoned off after the incident?
I think that was that people are saying what?
Yeah, people visiting the crime scene.
Okay.
Yes, and we thought that it should have been cordoned off so that people won't have access to it, so that investigators will have a crime scene which has not been tampered with.
Well, the first set of people, aside from the police that were the first respondents that went there, was actually on the rescue mission to take the victims out. Ever since then, it has been cordoned, save for when VIP came around yesterday and wanted to go in there. Because even our EOD, the anti-bomb squad that went there after the open, saw 300 detonated IEDs. So imagine if the place wasn't cordoned off. Anybody could have stepped on it. So I think that the place was cordoned off.
All right. In case you're just joining us, we're on to Ibuku Odunlami, who is the spokesperson for the Ondo State Police Command. And you can hear from the background, she's on her way to Owo, where the Inspector General's team, also there, which is leading investigation, has and will be briefing them also too. Before we let you go, because we know that it's a very busy time for you also, yesterday we put out the number also for people to... Oh dear, but we'll try and get back to her. I'm sure you could hear from the background lots of noise as she's moving from the state capital to Owo, where that incident happened more than 48 hours now, where scores of several people lost their lives, and like you had, many of them are still in hospital and are making recovery. All right, we'll get back. Soon and see if we can reconnect. If we can reconnect with Ibuku Odunlami, so that she can give us some more insight into all that's happened. But now we have a timeline of what happened, and we also understand some of the things that happened during that attack that went on at St. Francis Catholic Church, Owalua Street, in our local government area. And yesterday during the newsroom, which is a program done by the news department, we had the opportunity to have an exclusive interview with a survivor of the incident. And I see that we're reconnecting again with CSP Ibuku Odunlami. So we'll just wrap up with her then. And those of you who missed that interview on the newsroom, we'll play an excerpt of the eyewitness account. But let's get back to CSP Odunlami. All right, CSP, we lost connection with you briefly, but I know it's very busy for you as you're heading to the crime scene. But I said yesterday we reeled out the number for people to assist the Ondo State Police Command if they had any tip or any information. How is the public assisting with information over this incident?
When it comes to assisting the police over this issue, we will want to be mute about that. It's not everything that is actually meant for public consumption for now, until we get to the root of the whole situation. Yeah. After investigation has been fully conducted, perpetrators are, and we can come back and give some of the details of what really happened. Right. But right. Of course, if the public is helping us, it is not safe for us to even talk about it or give information about them. Yeah.
No, we just wanted to have an overview. What sort of information would you want the public to provide for you? Because we shared the numbers also too. So
all necessary and relevant information is what we want from the public.
Finally, for those who are wounded in the hospital, is there need for any assistance? What sort of assistance would you require from the public in providing?
For those who are wounded.
Yes, in the hospitals. Yes.
Please, you may need to ask your question again.
Yeah, for those in the hospital, what sort of assistance is required for them? Are there medical supplies available for them? The wounded in the hospital.
So far, so good that I've been there. I think they are well taken care of. And of course, people have been very, very magnanimous because a lot of people have donated blood for them. And we saw some of the VIPs that came around also donated some cash to aid their medical treatment.
Right. All right, we're going to have to leave it at that and get back to you later on, maybe during the week, to get some update. But thank you very much, CSP Buku Odulami, spokesperson of the State Police Command. SP, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, there you've had a spokesperson for the Ondo State Police Command, Ibuku Odulami, and giving us some update into what has happened so far. Investigations are still ongoing. You hear that some of the people in the hospital have made recovery. They say they are determined to get those who are directly or indirectly involved in this terror incident that happened at the St. Francis Catholic Church. And also asked her about the cordon. She said that it was cordoned off, which is why they were able to find three IEDs. IEDs are improvised explosive devices. Those devices were recovered from the site. Thankfully, they weren't exploded. But then she said the VIPs were given access to the place, you know. So the number on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805, is the number for you to send messages on. 0809-597-5805. Any reactions to what happened on Sunday? We're just getting updates into what happened. And together with the police and everyone, we also demand that justice be served in this and everyone directly involved be made to face the full wrath of the law. So I was talking earlier on about an interview we had with a survivor, Miss Nodim, who was interviewed yesterday on the newsroom. So I'm going to play that interview for those of you who did not have the opportunity to listen to that chilling account of how she survived. And then we can come back and talk some more.
Those doors, one of the doors. So when they say everybody go down, I was already in the space. There is a space that is left. When a roll is finished, there is a space left. Mm-hmm. I was already lying down there. I wasn't hurt. It was those people that were covering me. All the four people that were covering me was hurt. They were shot dead. Yes, because the last person that was on top of me, the first person that was on top of me, was the person's blood. That was the person's blood that soaked my clothes. I was holding the person. I don't know. I was holding the person's clothes. So when the bullet hit the person, I knew, because that was immediately when blood started flowing to my clothes and I was on the ground. When they were gone, my mom hit and the bullet crashed her head. So she stood up and there was a man that stood up. He started waking people that if you are alive, stand up. If you are alive, stand up. So I was trying to navigate myself from under those four people, but I couldn't. That was when my mom stood up and drew me out of them.
Horrendous story. That's how her mom pulled her out. This entire incident she relayed happened between, let's say, 30, 45 minutes. To imagine this has happened. We've asked the police why it took them so long to react, but I'm sure the inquisition will begin right after this whole thing has begun to. But we need to be able to learn quick lessons and lessons very quickly, like we've insisted throughout when this incident played out. So that's one story we're working on and would love to get your reactions to. Next, I'm going to go to Abuja because I see that Abayomi Akimbola is already on standby. Hello, Abayomi. Abayomi joins us from the FCT, Federal Capital Territory, and a crew is covering the All Progressives Congress presidential primary. Abayomi. Abayomi, are you there? All right. I'm sure. Hello, Abayomi. All right. I'm sure you heard at the background accreditation. So it's the drama playing out there. It's at noon. Many of the journalists who were meant to cover this event have yet to be accredited. I was listening to the chairman of the convention committee, the governor of Imo State, Hope Uzodinma, saying that 70% of the delegates. So the accreditation and everything is going on at a separate venue. Once they're done, they then move to the Eagle Square, which is the venue of today's event. At 5 o'clock, we're going to focus a lot on the proceedings of the convention. I've quickly gone to have a look at the schedule of events. And interestingly, this drama ought to have started from 10 a.m., but I'm looking at what we have there, and I am not too sure they will keep to time, because by now, according to their schedule of events, and I'm watching the screens, I see that the president even was supposed to have arrived at about this time, and some of those speeches should have begun. But we'll keep our fingers crossed and then see how... okay, there you go. I've got my... schedule. I'm not a delegate, but I have an invitation, a press invitation for this event. So the event ought to have begun at 10 a.m., which was to do with the arrival and accreditation of delegates. So it's 21 minutes past three. According to the schedule of events for the APC primary, at this time, we should have had President Buhari, also have had the vice president. We should have had the Senate President and the Speaker of the House of Representatives all arrive, but I don't see any of those people around yet. And then between 4:45 and 5:45, which you're going to have discussions, there will be speeches from the presidential aspirants for the contest. There's been a story about shortlisting of aspirants for the candidates. So many theories being put out there. But as we speak, there is nothing to show that there will only be five aspirants on the ballot. As at yesterday, after all of those meetings, it was said that you would have all of the 21 aspirants in the ballot. So, but still, they say an hour is a very, very short time in politics. Many things could happen. There could still be deals and horse trade and all of that would happen, and those numbers could be trimmed dramatically. 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm going to take some messages, and if Abayomi does connect with us before the break, we'll take him, or after the break, can give us some update on the crucial All Progressives Congress presidential primaries happening at the Eagle Square. Who will be the flag bearer for the ruling party? I was squeezing at least one call also, 202. The number to call, 0700-993-993-993. There are two discussions, two topics we have right now on the desk. Just like yesterday, today we are taking updates, and we have spoken a short while ago with the spokesperson for the Ondo State Police Command. Female-only line, 01465-7190. Why were VIPs granted access to the crime scene when they are not security scientists? This might undermine scientific evidences. I guess you mean examinations being conducted. Not right. Akban Silas from Magodo Estate is the point we made also too. You cordon off the place to the everyday people, but the spokesperson said when the VIPs came, they allowed them to go in. And I'm sure you saw all the footage of people going. It wasn't just the VIPs. They had their security details. They had cameramen. I mean, all they should have known a lot better. So let's go to the phone lines. We'll take one call before we go on the break. Hello. All right, let's try another one. This one isn't going through. And let's see if we can have anyone join in. Hello and good evening. Or good afternoon instead. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Dan Baba.
All right, Dan.
From the island.
All right, Dan Baba, go ahead very quickly.
Yes. It seems APC have tried all they can to go with consensus candidate. It did not work.
Yeah.
I will advise them to do it like that. Whoever emerges, they all should support him. It is better for them to have, what they call a true democracy.
Right.
And, you know, having some people who are aggressive about whatever to be the outcome of the primary.
Right.
Don't forget that after this one, some people might go to court. So if you don't want them to be like direct primary, why do you sell a ticket? Almost how many people?
Yeah, 28.
So it will be difficult for them to manipulate some people as it is now. And right. Buhari did not put any effort at all to unite the candidate and push for the southern candidate before now. It has been up and down, traveling everywhere. Instead of it to fix his party, look at what...
And what is going on, Dan Baba. Thank you very much from Victoria Island. And consensus, I thought eventually it turned out to be a one census with Ahmed Lawan. Let's go on a quick break. When we come back, the Big Three on 99.3 Nigeria Info's Hat Facts will continue. Please stay with us.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
This is the Big Three.
The Big Three. On the Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Oh, welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Agogo Obo and Shakumaku to every one of you. It's 29 minutes to 4, and we're taking in calls for two of the stories. A third story, which will be talked about during Community U Report between 4 and 5, is about the crisis that happened earlier on the day at Diaraba, where you had a clash between Okada riders and a task force as they sought to enforce a restriction order. And the clash led to bonfires, traffic tailback stretching for several kilometers on the mainland, majorly around the Suleri area. And Chukwu is working on that story, and he'll give you updates on that. And I'm sure many of you have been affected by this whole incident. Would want to talk about it and see how we can work with the state authorities to make sure that we don't have to suffer every time the task force is trying to enforce the law. And this time at the Diaraba, they had to deploy soldiers to push back against the youths who were clashing with the task force operators. I mean, really ugly scenes I've seen, and our crew reports to us. And early on, we'd spoken with Ibuku Odulami, who is the spokesperson for the Ondo State Police Command, who was on our way to Owo, where a lot has been very fluid following the terror attack that happened on Sunday at the St. Francis Church, Catholic Church in Owo. And she said a number of things which we talked about the people who have been injured in hospital. We still don't have a toll. I wonder why it's so difficult, but they haven't provided us with the numbers of those who died or were wounded in this incident. Then the big story here is with the APC's convention in a presidential primary happening as we speak at the Eagle Square. It's been dramatic. Even as we speak, a lot of drama still going on. The president, the vice president, all of the leadership of the APC at the national level should be at the Eagle Square as we speak, but we don't even have the delegates yet in the venue, so they're not going according to the schedule. But This is a drama that has played out for several weeks, and to expect a process to happen without all the drama on this action-packed series, I said earlier on, it is one for the neutrals to watch with a cup of soda and guguru and ekpa and sit down on the front row and laugh about all that is happening. But for those who are directly involved, the aspirant, is nail-biting moments for them. Anxiety, meeting after meeting, and everything you can think of has happened in the run-up to the APC's presidential primary. Makes you wonder just how they can come out of this unscathed. So, back to the phone lines, 0700-993-993-993. The female-only line, 01465, and then 7190. Again, 01465-7190. On WhatsApp, it's... on WhatsApp, it's 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. While I was pausing, someone sent me a video on WhatsApp about the Diaraba incident. It said whether I can confirm this. And yes, it's true. It actually happened. But whether it's still going on now is what I cannot say. I've been in the studio for some time. But before I stepped into the studio at about 3, the soldiers had actually pushed back the youth. So the video you're sending to me, which has those rowdy scenes, those streets have been emptied because the military have pushed back the rampaging youth. Stephen Ijanikin says, APC is obviously set to give us a consensus or confusion candidate in their so-called convention. Whatever the case turns out to be, Nigerians can be rest assured that we have in the last 7 years will be a child's play if their confusion / consensus candidate becomes our president. It'll be official that a government of condolence is officially been installed in Nigeria. My people, my fear for this country is beyond description. Steve from Ijanikin. Tony Anele says, it's a good show. Chaos may be brewing if all aspirants are not given level playing ground to justify spending humongous 100 million naira for nomination from ETC. Politicians like creating major problems in the course of solving a smaller one. With all of this scheme, contestants with better credibility and pedigree will give way for Bola Tinubu, Tony Anele from Ijagemo. He speaks like a political juggernaut, Tony. Let's get back to the phone lines. Hello and good afternoon.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Great to have you join us.
Good afternoon, yes.
What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Oh, my name is Bayo.
Baba Bayo, I can hear your child at the background.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I just want to comment on that Okada forming resistance and all that. These guys, of course, they have to resist the military, the police and all that. Mm. But what happened when the military came around, everybody just mellowed down and things like that. I think we need this kind of
it's abnormal.
to have the
military.
I used to tell people that democracy works in other climes. Mm. Does not mean that it is working. I mean, we just don't need to deceive ourselves. Mm. We're not saying that these guys should stay for a while. I mean, for long. But they just need to come around. Nigeria need a reset. As far as we are concerned now, we need a reset. The same thing happened in Guinea. The same thing happened in Mali, Burkina Faso. What happened? They are even happy. They have to beg the military to release their president. The president of Guinea the last time. And I haven't spent like 3-4 months in prison. So what are we talking about? Enough is enough for this madness, this soullessness. Can you imagine? They set a law. Some people are forming a resistance. For what?
All right, so thank you very much, Bayo. But like we found out, I'm sure we're old enough to know that excuse when we say, let them come around for a while. They never go. Even in Mali and Guinea, you see them complaining. Sudan is a very, very fine memory of when the welcome has overstayed. It's overstayed its welcome. It's a fine case where you see in Sudan and many of these African countries. I believe that democracy is an exercise that must be used by all the parts, and we, the electorate, have a huge role to play in building and shaping the democratic experience. There are many African countries that are having it well, like go to Ghana, you see that they've been able to harness a great democracy. Go to Senegal, go to many West African countries, even small Sierra Leone and Liberia. Okay, so some more messages on WhatsApp here. AAA from Ojo says, good afternoon. The whole of what incident, what happened in Owo in Ondo State is very sad. However, the whole security apparatus in charge should work seriously to unearth what happened. Looking at what happened, I suspect Natives been involved. It's a mouse in the house that will show the one outside the way to come in. Great point. Of course, they probably have insiders to be able to know their way through. It's usually how crime happens. Someone is calling, writing from Festac, O'Hara. Ever saw the movie Gone with the Wind? Scarlett O'Hara. My name, you said you have, that you don't have a toll on the incident in Owo, but you had a chance to ask the spokesperson, but you didn't. Well, I asked her before she came on air, and she said she did not have the toll. I also asked her yesterday. She also did not have a toll, but thank you for pointing that out too. But they still don't have a toll. We just have estimates, you know. But she said next time I call her, she will have. And I said, please do have, because it's quite embarrassing that we have to keep asking what the toll is, and we keep hearing that we don't have it yet. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Hello and good afternoon.
Hello, Agogo.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Robert.
Robert, great to have you. Please go ahead.
Robert.
Yeah, Robert, go ahead.
You see, Agogo, it is our time, our men of God, either the Muslim or Christian, they protect people in their churches or mosques. What I'm talking about is access control. We know God is the ultimate protector, but security-wise, measures should be put in place as in who is coming in, who is going out, and what are you coming in with, like as in to check people. You don't just build the church and there's no means to check anybody is wrong. You understand? So I just want them to, but secondly, when something happens, I expect the police to be professional. Like in a crime scene, you don't just allow people to put to the place to tamper with evidence. So you need to protect the place so that people will not go there. But what I saw on the video, I saw people going there with cameras and different things. It's all professional. I'm talking about the police now in Ondo State. All the same, I pray God will give the people that this thing happened to the fortitude to bear the loss. Thank you, sir.
You're very correct. Thank you very much. And Robert, and it's a great point. I do hope we learn lessons from this. If you listen to the spokesperson, she said they found 3 unexploded bombs in that place. And I'm thinking, you know, when this incident happened, you had people run into the crime scene right after the you know, where we had all those videos. If anyone had made any mistake to go around where you had those IEDs before the bomb disposal squad arrived, it could have been more carnage, because the police did not arrive immediately. It took them some time before they arrived, and it took them more time before the bomb disposal unit arrived. So please, when you hear of any of these things, stay away. Stay away. If you know the first responder, and the first responders have been specially trained for this, you stay away from those sort of places. Don't go there with your cameras and go videoing stuff that you have no business. I ask myself oftentimes, what are you videoing those things for? I remember the plane crash that happened in 2012, the Dana crash. I saw crowds of people troop to that place, and I kept asking myself, what are they doing in that place? People taking selfies. Because in front of a crashed plane. And I've seen this play out over and over again in crime scenes I've gone to cover. And I often wonder, what is this fetish we have with gore and all of these sort of things? This is to show your friends that you have mutilated dead bodies on your phone. We need a reset. I don't remember the caller who talked about that, but we need a complete reset in how we respond to emergency situations. So let's get back to the phone lines and hear what you have to say. 3 big stories today.
Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, this Friday from Igbelere.
Hey, Friday. Great to have you join us. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I want to ask a question. When you go to Owo State, leading to Edo State, some part of Edo State, you see 30 points every 2 minutes.
Mm.
Every 2 minute drive, you see 30 points.
Yeah.
And all these police 30 points and army points, what are they doing on the road? The only thing they do is that when they see a truck carrying yam and plantain, they collect plantain, they collect yam, they collect motor for motoring.
Mm.
But they cannot even arrest a single person. We don't even know as of now, more than 50 hours after the incident, how many people went to that church to attack that church, how many people were killed, how many people are being wounded. We don't even know. We don't even know if it can one person carry out such an attack.
No. No.
How many people that took out, if they use a bike, they use motor, they use private jet, we don't know yet. Security cannot even tell on anything.
Yeah, so Friday, the great thing we learned from this incident is from the Inspector General of Police statement, we see the timeline being that they stole a vehicle from a resident of Owo. And that guy, the person whose vehicle was stolen, made a report to the police. That's how we now know the vehicle type, which is a Sony Nissan, and we know the vehicle plate number because the gentleman went to report to the police. But,
did the vehicle fly?
No, of course, it drove past. Another point again, which is the point, I think it was Dennis Amakwe, a former assistant director for the DSS was saying, if we had a 1 month notice that recreational centers, religious places of worship could be attacked, this was a month ago, did we put up security level alert 5? After the first week where nothing happened, we dropped to 4, 3, 2, 1. But it still, like the point you're making, it still would have meant that when this incident happened, all of those levels could have been accelerated and all of the policemen who had been drilled on, look, oh, we are expecting a terror incident anywhere in the country, would have been activated immediately. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. And I understand that those are things that they are querying themselves about on being able to respond.
We just say that in a very short time, another incident that is bigger than this is not happening. If you overshadow this one, all of us will just overlook this one and let it go like that.
All right. Heaven forbid. I hope we learn our lessons and that we don't. Let's get back to the to WhatsApp and get back to the phone lines, take the final batch of calls on Hat Facts. The big three. Big three stories from politics to an update to what's going on in Owo. And then this face-off between the task force and Okada riders at Okada riders around Idiaraba on the mainland. I'm not bothered about APC as a party. It's failed Nigerians in the last 7 years. I'm sure the party can only win elections if they field an angel in the next presidential election. It says it has a candidate. I won't mention your candidate. It's not time for campaign yet. Larry Bashir from K2. Thank you very much. Let's see this. Hello, sir. Please, how many gunmen went to the church? I'm asking because with the number of people shot, it appears it looks like a string attack. Well, now we know the vehicle which was taken was hijacked by at least 4 men, according to the eyewitness who is now working with the police, whose vehicle was snatched. And what was her name? The lady, the survivor who spoke with us, seemed to suggest, well, what she told us is that she had explosions outside. She had gunshots outside, which they thought was knockout. And they were wondering whether it was festive, was Christmas again. And they heard a second time. Before they realized what was going on, someone said, gunshot. And they ran to shut the door. But by then it was too late because they had the people who were detonating the IEDs outside the church moved into the church and began to fire in the church. So apparently, for what it looks like, all of the attackers came in this vehicle. So give or take, the investigations will reveal for us later on whether there were more than 4. But it seems to suggest from the IGP's report that these 4 men who snatched this vehicle on Owo were the ones who eventually found their way into the church. So I hope that answers your question. Let's get back to the phone lines. Hello and good afternoon.
Hello.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yeah, hello, we can hear you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Okay, Jude, you're calling from Badagry.
All right, Jude, which of the stories would you want to comment
on? Yeah, it's about APC primaries of your thing.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, Please, I just want to say something. I want Mr. Etienne from Satellite Camp to call and give us update. That's in one hand. So another one, what happened in the war?
Right.
I watched the video, it's very gory. Very, very gory. I wish police would do a terror job to feed those people out. They should do that. So it's very bad. It's very, very bad. May their soul rest in peace.
Amen.
That's my take.
Thank you very much. And We pray that those families are hot and will find, you know, healing as the days go by. We'll take one more call. Right. Hello and good afternoon. Hello and good afternoon. All right. Looks like that one is absent. Hello and good afternoon. All right, that's off too. Hello and good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. O. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Yeah, this is Ngozi calling from Aja.
All right, Ngozi, great to have you join us. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My take is on the Owo incident.
Right.
I would at this point say that we don't have any security architecture in Nigeria. The Nigerian police, from time on now, has also already failed in their security when it comes to securing life and property. When people complain about police collecting money from motorists on the way, police, the IG never come out to do anything about it. When you have a security system that is compromised, anything can happen.
People
are asking questions, where were the police? These guys might have also passed the police and given them some tips. And there they go. Why would a security personnel be on the road collecting money from people? What kind of security job do you think that person can possibly execute?
Big question.
So we have a very big issue when it comes to security. And I think this is a high time for the federal government to bring up another security body, probably the state police. We need somehow to protect life. Enough of this killing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And couldn't have been said better. How do you do your job as a security expert or professional if you collect money on the road? I mean, it's you're compromised already. So it's simply what Ngozi is saying. And we need to think about how to have more our own police. You know, not their own police, our own police to protect us is what we're asking for. That can react on time. 30 minutes is too long to react to terrorists. It's way too long. Not saying that we won't have still lost life, but the carnage wouldn't have been as bad as it was in what you saw, many of you did see in those videos. But we're going to go on a quick break. And this is a rolling conversation, so if you found out, the idea is for us to really have it at the back of our minds that we need to take ownership. Ownership of our spaces, ownership of the things that happen around us. Go on a quick break. When I come back, Chukwudi Ezeogu is going to be in the Dear Abba story. He'll give us an update on it. Many of you want to know what's happening and what's going on there. And I hope that we can find a common ground and see what we can do about this clashes that are happening between the task forces and the OCA. I mean, we had a deal. We agreed that they have to go. So I don't understand why these clashes are happening and people think they are above the law. So we'll talk about that after the break, and after the business news. Then at 5, we have the All Progressives Convention drama. Game of Thrones is going to happen here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.